Will turn in your Bibles tonight to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. You know, God is just so good. Those girls played, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded." And that is my scripture text, man. They just kept playing that over and over, and I kept thinking, praise God, you know. And I changed this morning to this message. This is not the message I had to preach when I went home, and something just told me to preach this message. And then I was sitting there thinking, all right, did I hear right, Lord? And then they played that, and I said, man, I know I heard right. Amen. 2 Timothy 1, 12. "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, we're excited about our heavenly home. We're excited about what living the Christian life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture tonight. "For I know whom I have believed." We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Paul was a man that was set out to do away with the Christian faith. And on that Damascus road that day, God shone down in a bright light and changed his direction in life, changed his whole life. He was never the same. Folks, let me tell you something. When you have an encounter with Jesus Christ like Paul did, when you are saved, when you're born again, man, you are never the same anymore. "I know whom I believe." So many people today don't know what they believe in Christ Jesus. They roam from one place to the other. They switch denominations. They switch churches. And they're so mixed up, they're like a termite in a yo-yo. They don't know which way they're going. They listen to everyone on television trying to figure out what's right. And all they have to do is turn to the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Let God speak to their heart. And they could say, like Paul, "For I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he is able. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Listen, three things in this passage of Scripture we need to know. Three things. And in knowing, you'll find that you can plant your feet on the solid rock, Jesus Christ, on which to stand. We face uncertain days. There's uncertainty about the days that we live in. There's uncertainty. You have a plan for tomorrow, I suppose. But you do not know if you're going to be able to carry that plan out or not. You never know what tomorrow brings. I plan to get up in the morning and take a trip to the hospitals and visit, but I never know if I'm going to be able to do that or not. We live in uncertain days. You may set out to go shopping, and you might be killed tomorrow morning. You can never tell. You never know what you're going to encounter. Someone said, "Man, I'd hate to be over in the Middle East somewhere." I tell you what, if you go to Dallas, it's just about as bad. You never know. If you're going to be robbed, you're going to be killed. So you better know whom you have believed. Amen? You better have your feet on the solid rock. Paul's life was a man who had confidence in Christ Jesus. He had a Christ-centered confession. He said, "For I know whom I have believed." We have his statement of faith here, folks. He said, "I have put my faith in Jesus Christ." Christ. Christians must have faith. If you're a Christian tonight, you ought to be living by faith. The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We live by faith. We begin our walk by faith. We will end our walk by faith in Christ Jesus. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." All that we have as Christians come by faith. All that we receive from God is given us by faith. The Philippian jailer asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul says, "You must believe. You must put your faith in Jesus Christ." He didn't say, "Well, you got to go out here and you got to go to work. You got to do this. You got to witness. You got to do that." No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, "You need to go down and join the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem." He didn't say that. He didn't say, "Listen, you need to reform your life." He didn't say that. He said, "You must," he didn't say, "You have to have a hope." No, he said, "You must put your faith in Jesus Christ. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You see, he had a faith in a person. It wasn't in a church. Most people today, so you ask them about, "Are they a Christian?" They say, "Well, I'm a member of so-and-so church." That does not save them. But you know what? They do not know that. Most people think if they've got their name on a church roll. I heard someone say the other day, "It doesn't matter what church you go to, as long as you go to church." Well, you can go to church all your life and still be lost. Christianity is a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's faith in the person of Jesus Christ. And Paul's confidence was not in a church. It was in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. You see, he says, he did not say that he had a faith about him, but a faith in Christ Jesus. He said, "I know whom I have believed." And that person was Jesus Christ. I know him. I don't know about him, but I know him. You see, a lot of people know about Christ Jesus. A lot of people will tell you about all the Bible, the stories. I love Brother Bill's stories. You know, I believe as children, we need to learn those stories. I believe they ought to be in our mind and our heart thinking about, you know, I love the story of Noah and the ark. I love the story of Moses. Man, I've watched that on television so many times. You know, it's recorded. You know, Moses and the Ten Commandments. Every year they show that. And I usually turn it over and watch it. It's not because I believe it's all biblically sound. You know, I just like the story of Moses. You know, I like the story how God moved in his life in the Bible. I like that he was weak and yet God used him. You see, God can use anybody if they're just willing to let them. I love the story of David. I love the story. Someone asked this morning, "What's our favorite hero in the Bible?" I would say, "Oh, Daniel." I just love Daniel in the lion's den. There's something about that just, you know, I don't know what it is, but I like the story of Daniel in the lion's den, him praying. He wouldn't give up his prayer life, no matter what the king said. And, you know, God stopped the mouths of those hungry lions. He can stop our opponents' mouths too if we'll just put him first in our life. And Paul, I love the story of Paul. He went to churches, how they mistreated him and all of that. And yet he says, "You know, in my light afflictions," man, I'm thinking, light afflictions? This guy was beaten almost to death. He was stoned, he was, you know, left for dead, and yet he says, "These are just light afflictions for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know him." Man, there's a big difference in knowing about him and knowing him, isn't there? Man, do you know him tonight? Is your confidence not in this, having your name on the First Baptist gun barrel, but is your confidence in Christ Jesus tonight? Not the preacher. You know, preachers come and go. I came and stayed. But listen, it ought not be in me. If you look at me, I'm going to fail you sooner or later. Yeah, I'm just, human in flesh. We fall short too. But our confidence ought to be in Christ Jesus. He's the one we're looking to. And Paul says, you know, I am persuaded because I know him. I know him. Now, it's obvious that you know Christ. If you know about him, you can know about him in order to know him. You have to know something about him in order to know him. Man, I tell you, that comes through faith. We know about him, and the more we know about him, the more precious he is to us. And I believe the primary reason today that our churches have weak Christians is that they really don't know God. They know about him. They've got their name on the church roll, but most of our memberships in churches today really don't know the power of God in our life. You don't see how he works in your life every day, moving you in one direction and the other direction. They don't have a clue about that. And therefore, when they come on maybe Sunday morning or maybe once a year, I don't know nowadays. It's so sad today when your membership, you really can't depend on a lot of the people because you don't know if they're going to be here today or somewhere else, you know. But yet, I believe that's the reason we have so many weak churches today. It's not a weak Savior. We have a great Savior, but we have weak members. They don't know what they believe. They don't come enough to know what they believe. They just want to know that, oh, if I die, maybe I'll go to heaven. Man, it's not a maybe. You ought to know if you're going there. What makes the church alive is not the programs, it's the people. We are a living body of Christ. Amen. What you do with your body each week tells me a lot about you. And a lot of Christians or a lot of so-called Christians are living a life that degrades the body of Christ. Man, it makes Christ ashamed of his church when lukewarm. Man, we have lukewarm churches all over the area. We have churches that don't preach the gospel all over the world. They just going through motions on Sunday morning. How to feel good in your own life. It's not about feeling good. It's how to live when you're not feeling good. You see, on a daily basis. And our church is a living body. It's not just an organization. You know, when you reduce it just to an organization, you just got a corpse there. It's not alive. A church ought to be a living body. One that's moving about Christ. And what the church needs today is to be thoroughly introduced to the Savior. Amen. Thoroughly introduced, where the members get excited about God in their life. And as we trust him by faith, guess what? Then we come to know him by experience. Oh, yes, let me tell you something. Paul trusted him by faith. He lived by faith. He went through those beatings. He went through those shipwrecks. He went through those stonings. And every time he came through, knowing Christ a little bit stronger in his life. When God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he could say, let me testify to that. He's always been with me. And everybody else forsake me, Christ has always been there for me. I know whom I have believed. Man, we need that living relationship with the Lord and Savior. Let me ask you tonight, do you know him? Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you put your faith in him? You see, is the Holy Spirit living inside of your life? Hey, he should be. Oh, yeah, when you got that still small voice telling you don't do it, you don't do it. You know? When you hear him speak to you and say, don't do that, it's wrong, don't you do it. That's what you need. You need that still, small voice speaking to your heart. You know, every single day, there's no substitute for Jesus Christ in our life. All the religion in the world cannot make up for that relationship with Jesus Christ. Man, there's a lot of religions out there, but that's all they are. Christianity is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and nothing can compare with Him speaking to your heart and you speaking to Him. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. When our hurts are there, we can speak to Him, carry all our burdens to Him in prayer. Every need we've got, every problem we've got, all the hardships we got, if there's fear there, He's there. He understands us, you see. He's a living Lord. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And Paul says, you know, I know whom I have believed. He had a personal confession in Christ Jesus. Not only that, he had a confident conviction. Look, and I am persuaded. Man, he's persuaded. He's persuaded. That means he's accepted it. He knows it. He is persuaded, what? That God is able. Man, we have a lot of people that don't believe that. We think God's all right, but I'm not sure He's able to keep me. Oh, we have a loving God, but I'm not sure He's going to get me through this conflict that I'm in. Or we have a loving Lord, but, you know, I'm just not so sure that He's able to get me through this situation that I'm in. Paul said, no, I've got a confidence. I am persuaded. Nothing can shake the ground on which I am. I am persuaded that God is able. You know what? Faith persuades us, doesn't it? Faith convinces us that we must have a God that is able. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that faith grows stronger. It's just like you learning to walk. You get up and you take a few steps when you was a kid. You probably fell several times. You know, I did. I was uncoordinated. I probably fell and fell. But, you know, every time that I stood up and took a few more steps, you know what? It gains confidence in that little child. Have you ever watched a little kid? They get confidence in their self when they're able to stand, when they're able to do things. That grows, doesn't it? It's the same way when we put our faith in Christ and we see that the Lord comes through for us. Our faith grows. And here's a confident conviction of the power of God. He says you must know Him, and then you exercise your faith in Him, and then you have a confident conviction that when you need Him, and that's every day, the power of God will be there in your life. You're an overcomer. How do I know that? How did Paul know that he was an overcomer? Because of the trials he went through. The situations we go through in life builds our confidence in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 11:1, one of my favorite passages of Scripture in all the Bible. It says, faith is the assurance. It says in some readings, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But my Bible here has faith is the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. Friends, faith and conviction go hand in hand. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Some people say, well, how do you know there's a heaven? Man, I've seen it by faith. I trust God by faith. My God does not lie to me. How do I know that? Because the promises in the Bible are true. He showed me in my heart. I've relied on Him for all these years. He's not about to forsake me now. He's not about to leave me now. And Paul says, you know, I've got assurance. I am persuaded that my God is able. Is your God able tonight? Able to do what? Whatever you fill in the blank with, God is able. Able to get you over that sickness, He is. He's able to carry you through. Only by knowing Christ will you come to a relationship like that, that you are persuaded and that you're convinced of the power of God to work in and through your life. Now, if you're living outside of God's will, if you're not being true to what you know, then He's not going to be showing you anything else. You see, God gives us light. He opens the door and lets us see these things. And when you put them into action, you know, you'll see a little bit more. How do you know? I just know. Been there, done that. God gives you faith, and He increases your faith by putting what you know into action. Man, people say you can't outgive God. You'll never know that until you first start tithing. You'll never know that. If you're always holding back, you're thinking, well, you can't, you know, I just can't do it. I just can't, I don't know if I can do that or not. Well, if you've got assurance in God, if you've got a great God, you know that you can outgive Him. When you give, it doesn't matter what money you give, your time, you give your energy, whatever you do to help someone, man, it always comes back on you. And you give God the glory for it because He's the one you're living for. It's just like Mary, you know, when she anointed the feet of Jesus. I like that story. One of the passages of Scripture says she anointed the feet of Jesus. The other says she anointed the head. And I've always said, which one's right? They're both right. I believe when she poured it over His head, it went to His feet. And the Bible says, you know, there was a sweet-smelling aroma that just filled. Oh, that's the glory of God. And it all came back on her. Jesus said, leave her alone, man. She's done what she could while she could. Are you doing that? Are you confident in Christ? I believe you'll be convicted by two things. One, Word of God. You get into the Word of God and you start reading the Word of God. You claim the promises of God. And then two, by your own experience. You trust the Word of God. You start doing what the Word of God says. You start listening to what God says. As we read the words of the promises of God, man, there's a bunch of them in there. I like them all. Man, as we read the promises of God, I love the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's not a need that I've got that He won't provide because He is my shepherd and I shall not want. As we read that and say, God, you know what? You're speaking to me. That's a promise. As He said to Joshua, so was I with Moses, so will I be with you. There's nothing going to be able to stand before you. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, you believe that? I do. I do. I believe the Word of God. And as I read these promises of God, by faith I accept them into my heart. These are the promises of God. And by experience, they are proven over and over and over through the years. And we have learned to trust Jesus. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, folks. You want to be happy in Jesus, you get into His Word. You start reading His Word. You live His Word. Let Him live through you. And the first thing you know, you'll have a happy spell. Man, we've got Christians today that don't even look like Christians because they're not happy. Oh, we're doing all right under the circumstances. Well, man, you ought to be on top of your circumstances because Jesus is Lord. We believe God's Word because we believe in God. And Paul trusted Christ with his ministry. He trusted Christ with his safety. He trusted Christ with his reputation and his well-being. And he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Man, and as we do, we will prove over and over by our experiences God's power in God's promises and God's personal care. Years ago, there was a song. I loved it. It's not sung too much anymore. But you know, it was through it all. It went like this. Through it all. Through it all. I thank God for the mountains. And I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God can do. Through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His words. Folks, that's how we learn, by going through these trials, by going through these valleys in life. We find a self-confession when Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and a confident conviction that He is able to keep me. And then he had, lastly, a consuming commitment. Christ's commitment, folks, listen to what he says, that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him. Committed to Him. Christian commitment is unconditional. It's unconditional. When you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, what are you doing? When you surrender, you give yourself up. He said, I have surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, and I now have a commitment to follow Him. Wherever He leads, I'll go. You see, the call to commitment is to trust Him. It's to live for Him. It's to follow Him daily. It's simply surrender our life on a daily basis, hourly basis, to Christ Jesus. No confident conviction without commitment and surrender. You'll never have a confidence in Christ until you fully surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Folks, Paul made a consuming commitment. He said, all I am belongs to Christ. To live is Christ. He said, for me to live is Jesus Christ. In other words, all that I have given to Jesus Christ. All He did, all He had, all He ever hoped to be was committed to Jesus Christ. Paul said, to live is Christ. Someone said not long back to me, and they meant good by it. But when we say these things sometimes, I wonder if we know what we say. They said, you know, that I've given, or let's see how they put that. That Christ and the church is a big part of my life. And I know they meant good by that. Christ and the church is a big part of my life. But the Bible teaches us He should be all of our life. Christ is our life. Paul says, He's my life. To live is my life. To die is gain. How many are willing just to simply trust Christ? You know, by faith, trust Him for everything. Some Christians are being disillusioned about the Christian faith because they have tried and they failed. Because they've got out of God's will, and they've seen people that in Christian churches or in churches that say one thing and do the other. Folks, when we live for Christ, live for Him. Don't halfway do something. It causes others to stumble. And the Bible says it'd be better for a mill stone to be tied around our neck to keep and thrown in the sea than to cause a little child to stumble. And oh, I'm afraid in our churches we're causing a lot of stumbling going on. Paul said, he is able to guard what I have committed to him. In your life, have you committed it all to Christ? Is there anything that you're trying to keep for yourself? Give it up. Give it up. Quit holding on to it. Let it go. Let God. Paul said, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. On that Damascus road, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. Can you say, Lord, I'll trust you with my life. I'll trust you, Lord, with my future, everything. I'll trust you with my money. I'll trust you with my possessions. Man, I'll trust you with my marriage. When God gets in the center of your marriage, it's going to be a sweeter marriage. Oh, I'll trust you with my children. Man, that's hard, isn't it? I know, been there, done that. Their future's in your hand, Lord. You know, there's nothing I will withhold from you. Lord, everything that we got belongs to you. And the Bible says we ought to hold things loosely. You ever thought about that? Is there anything in your life right now that you couldn't just give up and say, Lord, you know, I'm glad you shared it with me for a while, but I give it to you. If you want it, Lord, here it is. It's here. Is there anything? If it is, it's come a little idol to you, see? You're putting it before God. And we don't need that. Think about your life. Is there anything that you are holding back from God? He said, I am confident that you're able to guard what I have committed unto you. You know, I know we are to do God's will. You ought to know what God's will is for your life. And most of the time we don't know what God's will is for our life. People always say, well, preacher, how do you know God's will? Well, first thing you need to do is get into the Word, pray, seek His face about it. Areas that you know to do His will, you need to start doing them right now. You know, there's some things that we just know. We ought to be a witness for God wherever we go. We know that. We ought to go to church. He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And most people don't want to do that all together. You know, they want to keep on, Lord, I keep this back for myself. I'm not going to go but this time. But we're not, you'll never know the will of God unless you do those things. You need to learn to tithe. You got to do that. You know God's word says that. You forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We know that. Witness. We know we're supposed to share the gospel with people we come in contact with. And if you're not doing that, then, you know, you're not going to do anything else. But if you start doing what God says do, and you commit it to Him, then He'll open up things that He wants you to do in your life. How did I surrender to preach? How did I know that I was called to preach? People always ask you that question. How do you know God called you to preach? Well, I know because He spoke to me. It was just as clear as I'm sitting here today preaching to you. I know without any doubt. I had a confidence in Christ. I couldn't do anything else. Old preacher friend of mine said, Booney, if you could do anything else and be happy, you better do it, brother, because you won't be called to preach. If you're called to preach, you can't be happy doing anything else but that. Man, that's, you know, that's the way. Paul said, I have confessed it. I have given my life to God. And you know what? He said, I count it all joy. Oh, all joy for all the things that went on. You see, he had a Christ-centered profession. I know Jesus. He had a confident conviction that he is able. And he had a consuming commitment to guard what I give to him till the day he calls me home. Folks, when you have that kind of life, man, you trust your entire life, you're ready to die. He came to the end of his road and said, I am ready. I am ready. It's time of my departure. I'm going to be with God. I've done everything that he's asked me to do. Now I'm going to be with him. I'll receive that reward that's laid up, which he will give me at that day. But not only to me, but to all those who follow me, who love his appearing. Is there anything in your life that would keep you tonight, think about it, from trusting God as your Lord and Savior? If you're here and you've never trusted, is there anything to keep you from doing that tonight? Why don't you come and give your life to Christ? You'll never, never, never regret it. And if you don't, you'll regret it. Would you trust Christ tonight so you can know him personally? Now, as a believer, is there anything that you're holding back tonight? Why don't you give it up? All you have to do is come to the altar and say, Lord, this is what I've been holding back. I want to give it to you tonight so that I know without any doubts that you're able to work through me and keep me. I'm giving it all to you, Lord. Oh, what a joy that will happen in your life. Oh, what peace of mind will come into your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're looking for a church home. I don't know. I don't know if we have any visitors. I know we have one, two. God's led you here. Is there any reason you wouldn't join tonight? I'd be glad to share it with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that we can be persuaded that you are able to keep that which we've committed till you call us home. Lord, we surrender our lives to you that revival might break loose in our life. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.